Anudasyam, the service. Eva, certainly. Asmat, power. Tvam, aham, grandfather. Kila, indeed. Vapre, accepted. Na, not. Tu, but. Swat, own. Pitriyam, paternal property. Yat, which. Uta, certainly. Akuta bayam, fearlessness. Padam, position. Diyamanam, being offered. Bhagavata, than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Padam, other. Iti, thus. Bhagavata, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Upadate, when killed. Kalu, indeed. Svapitari, his own father. So translation. Bali Maharaj said, my grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, is the only person who understood his own self-interest. Upon the death of Prahlad's father, Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrsimhadeva wanted to offer Prahlad his father's kingdom and even wanted to grant him liberation from material bondage. But Prahlad accepted neither. Liberation and material opulence, he thought, are obstacles to devotional service, and therefore, such gifts from the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not his actual mercy. Consequently, instead of accepting the results of karma and yon, Prahlad Maharaj simply begged the Lord for engagement in the service of his servant. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructed that an unalloyed devotee should consider himself a servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Lord, Gobi Martu, Parakamalor, Kamalayor, Dasa Dasanu Dasaha. In Vaishnava philosophy, one should not even become a direct servant. Prahlad Maharaj was offered all the blessings of an opulent position in the material world and even the liberation of merging into Brahman, but refused all this. He simply wanted to engage in the service of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Therefore, Bali Maharaj said that because his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, had rejected the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in terms of material opulence and liberation from material bondage, he understood his self-interest. Okay, that's interesting purport and verse. So, Om Ganati Vidandasya Gananjana Shlakya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shikaravena Maha. Prabhupada comments that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this principle, and he actually taught this principle not only by words, but by his own personal example. There's many stories that indicate this. One story, of course, is the famous story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Kalidas, who had great faith in the service of Vaishnavas. And Kalidas, he understood something, he understood everything about the potent activities or the potent things that actually give you Krishna consciousness very, very quickly. And those potent things are the foot bathing, the water of the Vaishnavas, the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas, and the prasadam remnants. And actually, this is not only originated with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, it actually comes down to us in the Bhagavatam, in the story of Narada Muni. And Narada Muni, during 4 months of the rainy season, he got a chance to associate and serve the great Vaishnavas, and one time he took their remnants. And Prabhupada said, with or without permission, one can take the remnants of the great devotees, and then one gets great spiritual advancement. So because of that, after just 4 months of association and service, he became the great Narada Muni. I mean, of course, he had to go through some traumatic things that happened first. Krishna took everything away. In terms of his mother, he was only 5 years old. And his mother, who was his only refuge in this world, just passed away. She died. And then he had to just wander around looking for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sometimes Krishna just does that when the material attachments, even such a basic attachment as to one's mother, is an impediment in devotional service. Because the interesting thing is, just backtrack a little bit, about service to the Vaishnavas, there's actually an indirect lesson in the injunction to serve Vaishnavas. And the indirect lesson, not the direct statement, but the indirect statement, is that one shouldn't serve others. You understand? You can actually, with every positive injunction, there's a negative injunction. With every negative injunction, there's a positive injunction. I mean, for example, we have the four regulated principles. And, you know, we don't eat meat, fish, or eggs, but we eat prasadam. You understand? So the 10 offenses on chanting. Don't commit offenses against Vaishnavas. Serve Vaishnavas. You understand? Any injunction has a positive or a negative aspect to it. You know, don't be inattentive, be attentive. I mean, it's obvious. It's obvious. Don't consider the names like a karma kanja ritual, like, and it's mentioned in the Vedas. Well, instead of, that's the negative. Well, you consider the name to be Namachintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Perfect, pure, it is directly Krishna. So there's always a positive side to a negative injunction. So anyway, so in order to serve the Vaishnavas, getting back to the point, one has to give up service to non-Vaishnavas. That's pretty heavy. And of course, we do serve everybody, but in a Krishna-conscious way, not in a mundane way. I mean, there's a whole discussion about that. Actually, some people are just like all the way in the right wing, you know, the conservative wing. And they say that we shouldn't even do food for life. In fact, there was one of our devotees in our movement who called food for life food for death. One of the sannyasis in our movement. But you're giving people prasadam. Obviously, we're not going to do mundane charity where we just hand out, you know, bags of food that's not offered to Krishna. I mean, that's mundane. And actually, you're encouraging people in karmic activities. Krishna Gita says, one who eats something or eats food without offering it to Krishna, offering it to him, of course, then that person is verily eating only sin. So we really don't want to do mundane things. At the same time, we can serve humanity or even non-devotees by bringing them to Krishna. So that's an important point. But we don't serve them in a mundane way. And anyway, so that was Narada Muni's example, that his attachment to his mother was an impediment. I mean, it's a heavy thing. I'm not saying that everyone's attachment to there is an impediment, but in the case of Narada Muni, Krishna removed that impediment so that he would just have to take shelter of him. For those who I especially favor, Krishna says, I take away everything so often. Even his family and friends reject him. You know, that happens with a devotee sometimes. And so all he's left with is my names. So, anyway, getting back to the story of Kalidas, because that's where we started this whole discussion. Kalidas had great faith in the Vaishnavas and Prasadam remnants. And what he did is he made tricks so that he could eat the remnants of food of all the Vaishnavas in the Navadvip Mayapur area. And He had so much faith in the Vaishnavas that he did not consider like what caste a particular Vaishnava was from. Now for us in America, that's not something so big. I mean, let's try to understand the cultural context of this particular story. But in India at that particular time, and in India even now to a certain extent in certain areas, the caste consciousness is very prominent. In other words, you don't hang out with people. I mean, even if you're the same caste, then there's subcastes. And you don't even hang out with people with a different subcaste. You don't marry people from a different subcaste. I mean, that's how caste conscious it is in many places. I mean, for example, I have one friend who's Gujarati, and he's from the Prajapati caste, whatever that means. Prajapati, of course, means like having a lot of children and populating the universe. Of course, that's not his duty. And so he had to, and that's a subcaste. Prajapati caste is a subcaste of the Vaishyas in the Gujarati community. So he had to find a girl from the Prajapati caste. Parents had to find a girl from this particular caste to marry. And so his parents found it. Of course, it didn't work out. That's another subject matter. So sometimes people are so much into these rituals that they, you know, lose sight of Krishna consciousness, which is really, really interesting. I mean, you see this working with people from India sometimes. For example, I just had one of my disciples write me. They just had a baby. And they said, the astrologer said the name has to begin with C-H-O. So I looked in my, you know, Vaishnava dictionary to find a spiritual name that began with C-H-O. And the only thing I could find was Chota Haridas. You know, even I looked at my, went on the internet and looked for all the Hindi names for babies. And all I found were mundane names. I didn't find anything spiritual. I said, you know, what are you going to do, you know? You follow the advice of the astrologer and you're going to give your son the name, you know, not Charles. I don't even know some mundane name that begins with C-H-O, the chosen one or something. So people get, it's a very much a ritualistic consciousness in India, isn't it? And there's a lot of superstition, you know, the evil eye, as I mentioned before, that if you close one eye and look at someone, you're cursing them. And, you know, I do that to people all the time just to freak them out. And so that's the scenario. I'm just giving you the whole scenario, cultural scenario, that Kalidas was in. You know, he was in a scenario, in a cultural scenario, where you really didn't hang out with people from other castes or lower castes, because he was a Brahmin. And you certainly don't eat food at their house, and you don't make friendship with them. And even if someone is of a lower caste, or let's say a Shudra, he steps on the shadow of a Brahmin. I mean, there's violence because of that. I mean, America, we're pretty much egalitarian. Of course, it depends on what part of the United States you're from. The southern part of the United States is not as egalitarian. I mean, at least the deep south is not as egalitarian as other parts, because there's a lot of racism here still. Just like I've seen, sometimes we get people who are from the southern part, not to criticize anyone from the south. They can't relate. We get devotees from the southern part of the United States, and they can't relate with like different cultures in the temple. It just freaks them out. You know, they want to be with their own kind. But you know, the rest of America is pretty, well, not the rest of America, but let's say New York is very egalitarian. You can get away with any damn thing in New York. That's why I like New York. So, you know, you can dress or undress in any way and people will accept you in New York. Or have any color of skin or any cultural background like that. But, you know, in the South there's certain things like that. So anyway, so Kalidas was from that culture where there was extreme discrimination. And you even see that in Prabhupada's statements that there is some indication that the color of the skin really, there's some discrimination based on the color of the skin. I mean, it's really, really interesting because a lot of Prabhupada's statements in his books are from that particular culture. And anyway, I'm not going to get into that. But there's a lot of, I mean, even in India, there's a lot of inherent racism. Like you'll see that people are considered higher class if they have lighter skin than darker skin. And all the movie stars, the Bollywood stars, they're lighter than me. And the most popular cream or popular thing you could buy in the pharmacy or drugstore is skin whitening solution. It's advertised even on the TV. Can you imagine? In America, having skin whitening solution advertised on the TV? Wow. I mean, of course, I mean, even in America previously, some of the black people tried that. And you have our friend Michael Jackson, who got in trouble from doing that. Anyway, so the point is, that's the cultural milieu that Kalidas was in. So, but he didn't consider, like he went, for example, he went to one Vaishnava who was actually from a Shudra caste. His name was Jadu Thakur. And Jadu Thakur, he brought Jadu Thakur some mangoes and offered the mangoes to him. And Jadu Thakur was very happy to receive him and receive the mangoes. So Jadu Thakur ate the mangoes and then he sucked on the mango and his wife sucked on the mango pit, etc. Because in those days, you know, the husband would eat first and the wife would eat afterwards. I don't know if you know that. Don't want to insult anyone. Anyway, that's a cultural thing. We don't want to impose that on the devotees. I mean, sometimes you find devotees in India, some of our friends who've been in India so long, they try to impose that on the rest of the world. And it's, you know, huh? You know, impose all these different strictures. They think that all the wives should be like Draupadi or Kunti. But they're not like Pandu. Anyway, they're not like Pandu or the Pandavas. They're more like Ravana. So, getting back to the point. So, Kalidas, he waited outside of Jadu Thakur's house and waited until Jadu Thakur and his wife threw away the garbage. You know, the mango pit, the mango skin. And he jumped into the, not jumped into it, but he grabbed, he didn't jump into the garbage pit. He grabbed the pit and the skin and he started sucking on it afterwards. I mean, that's pretty radical. To grab someone's plate and just eat, you know, whatever's there, and there's obviously saliva and everything on it. I mean, that takes a lot of faith. Mm. Like one time we asked Prabhupada, if guests leave something over on the prasadam plates, you know, can we take it? And, you know, is it, what about, you know, their diseases and everything? Prabhupada says you have to have faith. That's very interesting. You know, if one has faith and Krishna reciprocates, one has faith in prasadam, because prasadam never gets contaminated. So, anyway, so Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with Kalidas that what did he do? He allowed Kalidas to do something that he never allowed anyone else to do, which was to drink the water that was utilized to bathe Lord Chaitanya's feet when Lord Chaitanya was entering the Jagannath temple. Through the Singhardwara gate, because Lord Chaitanya would bathe his feet. That's a standard in India. Some temples, there's actually running water that bathes your feet as you're walking into the temple. Like in Tirumala, it's like that. There's actually water running right on the ground. Right, you know, there's like, anyway, on the path that you're walking through. So anyway, so this Kalidas, he actually drank the water from Lord Chaitanya's feet. And of course Lord Chaitanya said, all right, that's enough. Krishna's fulfilled your desire. But Lord Chaitanya didn't get angry with him. Whereas in another case where a devotee tried to sneak some foot bathing water from Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya got very angry. That was the case of the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. When they were cleaning the Gundicha temple, they were throwing water everywhere, and it's described that there were actually rivers coming out from the temple. They were just pouring water to cleanse the temple so that Lord Jagannath would go there during the Rath Yatra, after the Rath Yatra. And so one Bengali Vaishnava just took advantage of the water that was being poured, and some of the water was poured on Lord Chaitanya's feet, and he drank it, and Lord Chaitanya got so angry, he stated to Swarup Damodar Goswami, "Look what your Bengali Vaishnava has done. You know, kick him out of here." And he was kicked out. And later on, Lord Chaitanya let him back in. But see, in that case, Lord Chaitanya was angry. But in the case of Kalidas, Lord Chaitanya was very pleased and allowed Kalidas to drink the foot bathing water. So that very, very interesting story and point. And of course, this is philosophically brought out in the Adi Purana, where Krishna says, one who is a servant, one who says he is my servant is not my servant, says he's my devotee is not my devotee, but one who says he is a devotee of my devotee is my devotee. This is a very interesting point. So anyway, there's a lot of philosophical basis to this thing. So what does it mean for us to be servants of Vaishnavas? Of course, it means several things. First of all, in the nectar of instruction, we have these injunctions. What is it? Tadati pratigrinati guyam akyati prichati vunkte bhojate chaiva. That one should engage in loving exchanges with Vaishnavas. Prabhupada said this is what enables our movement to increase loving exchanges with Vaishnavas. And actually this is preaching too. You know, people join the Krishna consciousness movement. Very rare someone is going to join because of the philosophy. I mean, some people think I joined because of the philosophy. But usually people join because of something called social networking. Social networking, just like I was talking to Drisapuru the other day about Amitacharya and Maya Priya's program up there. And he was explaining that's because when people would come to the temple, they get in contact with people, they would follow up. They would visit them, they would make friends with them. I mean, that's really the trick of making devotees. Even if we happen to be wearing dhotis or saris or have bald heads or long hair or what else? Big noses. Or not particularly pretty or ugly. People are actually looking for loving exchanges or looking for friends or they want people who care for them. I mean, that's really the point. I mean, that's why I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, because Prabhupada cared for me. I mean, it was really Prabhupada's compassion that convinced me to join. And the devotees, I mean, they were a little compassionate, but basically they kept me from joining for 2 years because they were just preaching to me. I mean, I would come to the temple, the Hare Krishna temple, and I wanted to read one of Prabhupada's books. It was not Nectar of Instruction. It was the Isopanishad. So I sat down in the temple library to sit. And you know, here I was with, you know, long hair everywhere. The devotees said, you know, started to preach to me, heavy. And I said, "Can I sit down and read Prabhupada's books?" And they said, "Well, you're not really qualified. You know, you have to listen to me explain." I said, "Come on, I'm not qualified. I'm university educated. You know, I think I can read by this time." I was thinking that. And so, anyway, so the devotees preach philosophy. They didn't preach bogus philosophy, but it took me 2 more years to join until I met Prabhupada. Because of Prabhupada's compassion, which I felt, I mean, it was actually not so much what Prabhupada did externally, it was that who Prabhupada was. Because it was Prabhupada's compassion that I felt, and I decided to dedicate my life to serving him and serving the Krishna consciousness movement. So, in other words, in order to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, the most essential quality is compassion and loving exchanges and exchanges of service And in this way, people will join the movement, and that was proved by Amitacharya Mayapriya, isn't it? Because that was their method. I mean, they're not super sophisticated as far as the preaching. They don't know Sanskrit or anything like that. But they exhibited compassion for people, loving exchanges and service, mutual service like that. And people join, and they have a very successful program. So, I mean, whatever you call your program, whether it's Krishna East, Krishna West, Krishna in between, or whatever. I mean, or whatever cultural group you're preaching to, that is the secret right there. You know, we could say, you know, everybody likes to say, I joined because of the philosophy, I was a great yogi. You know, I have one friend who tells me, I joined because of the philosophy, I was a great yogi in my last life. I said, yeah, tell me all about it. So, it was because of the loving exchanges we joined. And prasadam, of course. Prasadam is part of the loving exchange. I mean, in order to be prasadam, it has to be cooked with love. I mean, that's why when people taste the food offered to Krishna, of course in those days I ate so many things, then they're amazed at the taste of it. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, talking about the Mahaprasadam in the Jagannath temple, that has the saliva from the lotus mouth of Lord Jagannath. I mean, that's not some ordinary saliva, some horrible, obnoxious thing. And so that comes from the bhakti. That's the real point. You know, the bhakti, the love, the devotion, the service attitude. So that's one thing we can learn from this particular story. Another thing is, you know, how do we become, I know how we can serve others if we just explain that, but how do we become servants of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada? Because Srila Prabhupada is not at least externally here to give us instructions. Of course, we may have a dream, but sometimes in dreams things happen that are not particularly bona fide. You know, people come up with dreams. Like Prabhupada sometimes would say that, you know, you can't take dreams very seriously. Sometimes the spiritual master appears in a dream, like he did to Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Told Prabhupada to take sannyas, and Prabhupada was horrified, and Prabhupada eventually took sannyas. So, in order to actually serve Prabhupada, it's more than just following his instructions. Because instructions can be followed, and you can displease the person whose instructions you're following. I mean, that's an interesting statement. It's, one has to understand the mood of the spiritual master. Just like it's described by Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam, Shtapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Srila Rupa Goswami understood the internal intention of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, he is the main acharya in our sampradaya. We're called Rupa Nugas as a result of that. So you really have to understand the mood of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And sometimes in following that mood, because instructions do change according to time, place, and circumstance. I mean, like many of Prabhupada's instructions, direct instructions, were in reference to when Prabhupada was preaching, either preaching in America or preaching in India. So, I mean, there may be certain injunctions that have to be adjusted according to time, place, and circumstance. And Prabhupada even said that. He said certain rules that are applicable in India may not be applicable in the Western world. You know, so we have some instructions from Prabhupada, but then you have to understand his mood. I mean, let's give an example of a Vedic injunction that can be disobeyed in the name of service. Interesting. This is from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. One of the Vedic injunctions is that you're not supposed to step over a Vaishnava. I mean, this is actually it's a great offense to step over a Vaishnava. Of course, sometimes you see this in Sunday when the temple room is all crowded, you know, people are stepping over each other, but it's actually not proper. Usually what I do, and I have to enter, when the temple room's filled, I just go like this, you know. move aside. So, in this particular case, there's a Vedic injunction to not step over Vaishnava, especially you don't step over the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you have the story where Govinda, who was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servant, one time stepped over Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that occurred because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one time was very tired, and he actually, I wouldn't say went to sleep, but he was resting right in the doorway. So his servant, whose duty was to massage Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, couldn't get to that part of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body that he was supposed to massage. So what happened is that he put his cloth over Lord Chaitanya and stepped over Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to external consciousness. And he noticed, this was 2 hours later or something, he noticed that his servant was still sitting there, not gone to take prasadam. So he said to Govinda, he said, why haven't you taken prasadam? And Govinda said, I didn't want to step over you to take prasadam. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, but you stepped over me to come in here. And then Govinda replied, yes, for service, I'm willing to step over you to serve you, but not for my own sense gratification. So there's a fine line there in following injunctions. And also, you know, of course, you have the gopis who were serving Krishna, wanted to serve Krishna by giving the dust from their feet, which is an extreme offense, to give the dust of your feet to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they were willing to go out of service like that. So sometimes you just don't have an instruction, but you have to understand the mood of the person you're serving. And of course that's described as the first class servant. The first class servant does what the master wants, that's Prabhupada for all of us, without being asked, because he understands the mood. Second class has to be asked, does it with a good mood. That's another point with service. That point I forgot to make. When you're doing service for Vaishnava, it has to be done with a grateful mood. A grateful, devotional mood. Otherwise, it's not service. That's another point with service. If you're just doing this just because, you know, I'm supposed to do it, it says in the Shastras, I'm supposed to serve the Vaishnavas, then, the Krishna's not going to accept that like that. You have to do it like joyfully. Joyfully perform. You have to do it gratefully. Wow, you're letting me do this. I mean, just like I gave the example, when I was going over to read for Rasa Priya every day before she was leaving the body, before she left her body, then she and her father thanked me, and I said, no, thank you for letting me do this. You know, this principle of being thankful is very important. Like just even yesterday, I was looking at the Tulsi Devi I have in my house. Now I have Tulsi Devi in my house, and I was just being so thankful. Prabhupada, you're letting me serve the Tulsi Devi. You're letting me serve the deities. I'm so thankful. You know, so many times we become resentful while we're doing service, but that's not service. It has to be, we have to be so thankful, so grateful, and that's part of service. Anyway, so getting back to the point, so we have to imbibe the desire and the devotional mood of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, and in this way we'll know how to serve according to time, place, and circumstance. Whereas if we just take things, you know, let's say literally on some instructions that were given like 25, 30 years ago, we may be doing the opposite. We may be creating havoc. Try to understand that. Service means, ultimately, to serve a Vaishnava means you have to do what they internally want you to do. Like a Vaishnava may say, don't respect me. You know, because a Vaishnava is naturally humble. But Krishna may want you to give them great respect. You know, so there you're violating what they say. I mean, like, Someone may say, don't celebrate my birthday. Like Pani Bhushan said to me the other day, don't celebrate my birthday. But then, you know, I have to violate that instruction. Because it's service of Vaishnava. So you can't always take things just like literally based on the word. You understand? You have to understand the internal and ultimately Krishna's desire. So it requires a lot of intelligence to understand how to serve. It's not something that's just like written in a book, certain injunctions, you know, like when you see a pilot flying a plane, there's a checklist. You know, check off this, you know, check to see if there's oil in the engine, check to see, okay, you know, it requires the right consciousness and also the understanding the internal mood of Vaishnavas and Krishna's mood. And that's really what service is. So, anyway, on that happy note, any questions or comments? Yes.
Yeah, how important is it to work on one's attitude? To work on one's attitude?
Extremely important. Mm-hmm. Extremely important. It's joy. In other words, we should be so grateful. I mean, look at what we've been given. I mean, I was thinking that the other day when I looked at Tulsi Devi. I said, look what I've been given by Prabhupada. I mean, here's this Tulsi Devi who was one of Krishna's dearmost servants. I said, wow, I've been given so many gifts. You know, so attitude, my understanding is the positive attitude comes from thankfulness. You know, what we've been given. Like Prabhupada said, we have a debt. What we've been given, we have a debt to the spiritual master which can't be paid. That's nice. Imagine a debt that can't be paid. We run up our credit card unlimitedly. And we have to pay eternally. So, but it's not like a burden, it's a burden of love. It's not a bad burden, it's wow. Look what I've been given. Look at the rest of the world. Look at how people are suffering in the world. They haven't been given this. They, even if they've been given it, they don't understand it. They haven't accepted it. And look, somehow or other, by Prabhupada's mercy, I am sitting here in front of Tulsi Devi. It's amazing. If you think about it, it's amazing. If you have faith in Krishna consciousness, it's amazing that here I am, you know, coming from the lowest background, sitting in front of Tulsi Devi, or sitting in front of the deities, wow, what did I do to deserve it? You know, we can think like that. And that gives us a mood of grateful. And when we're grateful, then we can have the right attitude when we're serving. You know, the right attitude of compassion. Grateful, because before we can have compassion, we have to have the proper relationship with the person who's been compassionate to us. In other words, you can't have compassion unless you're in contact with the person who's compassionate with you. And that's Prabhupada for us. And, of course, Krishna and Prabhupada and other Vaishnavas like that. And it's just, anyway, for me, that's the secret for having the right attitude when you're serving. I'm so grateful. Wow, Krishna's given me the opportunity. Like I said to read or chant for someone who's leaving their body. It's an opportunity to serve a Vaishnava. It's not that I gotta do this. If you have that attitude, that's almost offensive to have that attitude. You know, why do I have to serve you? Or I have to do this. You know, if you're always thinking I have to do this, I get to chant my rounds. I'm so fortunate I get to come to the temple, chant my rounds. I'm so fortunate I get to cook for the deities. I'm so fortunate I get to serve the Vaishnavas. You count your good fortune. Confirmed by the transcendental conch shell, Devadatta.